from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Patriots Monday on WEEI is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, McFarlane Energy, Shaw's and Star Market, Town Fair Tire, your New England Kubota dealers, and Drains by James.
Elliot, back in April, we asked you if the roster was in the position to support a rookie quarterback, and at that time you said you thought it could. Do you still feel that way, and is there any concern now about the offensive line?
Well, we're concerned about every position. We're always looking to improve and get things good. So whoever the quarterback is, I mean, it's not like if Jacoby's the quarterback, we just want to throw him to the wolves. So we're excited about our offensive line group. We're still working to find that the correct combination in there, and I think we have the pieces in place to be able to compete.
So you're confident that you can support any quarterback with the pieces you have in place?
Yes.
Elliot Wolf over the weekend here. Welcome in. It is Arcan and Mego. No Jones today on a Patriots Monday.
That guy loves vacation.
Jones?
You wouldn't think it, but, you know, there he is.
Never heard of him.
He's flexing Mondays. He's flexing Fridays.
He waits till like the very end of the summer and then just boom.
His wife is sending me crazy DMs over the weekend.
Oh?
Yeah, I'll tell you during the break.
Well, you can't just say that.
Some famous people in her prom photos.
In her prom photos? What?
Some NFL coaches in her family's prom photos, I should say.
Oh.
Yeah.
In Jones's wife's family's?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Like who?
I feel like it's not mine to say.
Well, it's yours to bring up in the very beginning of the show.
Well, yeah, because I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, it feels like a really long time since Jones has been
here. Why do you always bring stuff up in the beginning of the show and then refuse to talk about it immediately after bringing it up?
It's called a tease.
A tease, but you have to pay off the tease then, Megan.
Yeah, and then when Jones gets back into studio tomorrow,
we'll forgotten all about
him which NFL coach went to prom with his in-law family.
Okay. I can't wait. That sounds great. Anyway, it was a big weekend for the Patriots, a bad weekend for the Red Sox, despite the fact that they won most of the games they played over the weekend. Ended up being a bad one for them. We'll get to the Red Sox as well. Some news with the Celtics here today from Bill Simmons, but we're starting there with Elliot Wolf and the Patriots, who are practicing right now. We heard from Gerard Mayo on these airwaves earlier today. We will play some of that for you as well, what Hillman and the gang had to say and ask him. We heard Mayo also at practice today right before coverage started, he had more comments all about various things from the quarterbacks on down. So let's go ahead and start with what we just heard there from Elliot Wolf, where Karen Garigian, bulldogging him there, by the way, not letting him up off the mat, would not just accept the answer, following up there, love to see it. As the question was about, you know, is this offensive line capable of supporting a rookie quarterback, or any quarterback for that matter?
It's the question that we all know the answer to, and you just want to hear him say it.
Yeah.
You put it together, guy. You say it.
And he won't
say it.
You say it.
You say it. You won't say it. He'll just walk around it.
Not going to say it. The offensive line is really, I think, in a lot of ways, the key to all of this, and that brings us to our big cue at two, which is what part of Elliot Wolf's roster concerns you the most? And the options are, we're leaving the defense off to the side because I don't think there's anybody who's like, I don't know about this defense. even if you think the defense
you could have
won't
Matthew,
be as good.
Matthew Judon gone,
even if you think
Christian
they're not as good.
Barmore gone.
Sure. They maybe aren't as good as next year. But no one's most concerned about the defense, I don't think. If I'm wrong, feel free to chime in. 617-779-7937. But we stuck to the offense. Quarterbacks, O-line, receivers, and we tied together running backs and tight ends as one group. And the tight ends, by the way, are in shambles right now. Hunter Henry's still out. Hooper's out. I guess Hooper is back today, but he was out. He missed the day. The other kid, Wilcox, is out. Like, everybody's getting hurt. They got the rookie out there, so that could be maybe a little more problematic, too. Not getting a lot of votes so far. So far, it is a runaway. One of the biggest blowout landslides we've ever had on this show, right after having one of the closest ones last Friday. But this one is a runaway for the offensive line, polling in at 91.1%. That is what I picked. I'd imagine that's what Joe Braverman was thinking, what everybody was thinking when the question popped up. I'm seeing people in the Twitch chat already saying, oh, yeah, of course, offensive line. What else could it be? I'll tell you what else it could be. Well, actually, I won't tell you. Mega, yeah. Why don't you tell us, since you're the salmon swimming upstream here?
I am. I'm swimming furiously, and I will note that I think that my opinion is relevant today because we're going to talk to the quarterback.
We are.
Who we assume, although it's getting hazier and hazier, like the weather outside over the past 4 days, as to whether Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter in week one. But we're supposed to talk to Jacoby Brissett at 3:30.
3:30, we will speak with him. We'll talk with Jonathan Jones at 4:30. So a couple of Patriots to talk to today. We're very excited about that. We're not at Gillette today, obviously, so we'll be talking to him over the phone and looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to talking to Jacoby Brissett because I was a big fan of him as a Twitter user like 5 years ago.
I have never even seen his Twitter account.
His Twitter account 5 years ago was pretty good. Now, he barely tweets anymore, but he used to tweet deep thoughts.
That's a good indicator of someone in my book.
That they don't tweet anymore?
If you were great on Twitter and then you just moved away
and then
from
retired,
it,
yeah.
You're like, you know what? I don't need this.
He used to tweet things like, what shape is the sky? Like, you know, it was like very Jack Handy, deep thought kind of thing. And they were all pretty good. I'll go back and try and find some other ones, but I do want to ask him why he stopped tweeting. And if now that he's at the kinder, gentler New England Patriots with Gerard Mayo, maybe he'll pick up the old Twitter machine, get back on there and start dropping some more gems. We'll find out at 3:30. You'll find out at 3:30 as well. And again, 4:30, we'll be talking with Jonathan Jones. Mego, how could anything other than the offensive line concern you the most?
It's the quarterbacks to me. And maybe it's just like a different use of the word concern. All I care about is the quarterbacks this year. And anything that I'm answering, the offensive line, wide receivers, tight ends, running back is a little bit different. I guess I just don't care that much about that overall. But it's all how it relates to your quarterbacks. And it's, can Jacoby Brissett stay healthy enough to give Drake May the time that he might need to develop, or by the coaching staff's evaluation and judgment that he needs to develop? Is it that you can get Drake May healthy through a season? Can Drake May develop the skills, the processing skills, the arm talent through this season and not just have to revert to scrambling and keeper plays and throwing away because he's running for his life at different points? If I'm being honest with myself, yes, I think the offensive line seems to be the worst part of this team.
Right.
I think everyone agrees with that it seems like that is where the most talent is lacking on a team where overall talent is lacking. But to me, the biggest deal for this whole season is your quarterback. You're not going to make the playoffs. I just don't think you are. And I don't think that's a controversial take, but I do think that you have the ability to develop a number three overall pick and decide at the end of the season if this is somebody that you're going to build around with whatever you are in the draft next year, go out and actually spend in free agency when you have even more room against the cap. Mm-hmm. Everything for me hinges on the quarterbacks. So that's where my concern is.
Okay. The quarterbacks so far have looked good, bad. Like, what, you know, like, do you think Drake May is not looking good?
I'm not down at practice every day.
Well, you saw May in the game.
Right. In the games, I think Jacoby's looked pretty bad. I mean, look, in the first preseason game, he went 3 and out. Okay. And then in the next preseason game, he throws an interception in the red zone.
He was lousy.
He looked nice leading up to that. So I think, like, it feels like for Jacoby Brissett, the ceiling is nice. He's a nice quarterback. He's a nice guy. He's a nice teammate. And with Drake May, I told you before on Friday, I thought he was a B-plus in that game. I thought some of the stuff that he did that we had heard so much about him being sloppy at, he looked pretty polished. So he looks like his footwork is not really a problem. He looks like he's processing the defenses he's seeing on the other side well. He looks like he can handle just going to the check down or throwing it away instead of just throwing boneheaded interceptions.
So if the offensive line was better, then quarterback wouldn't be your biggest concern, right?
No, no matter what, my biggest concern is going to be quarterback because you drafted 3 overall.
But you just said Drake May looks good and that you think he's coming along well. So why are you more concerned about that than a dysfunctional offensive line?
Because I think that that's your number one priority this whole year.
I mean, it's every team's priority.
No,
is the quarterback.
It's not every team's priority. If you had way more stellar pieces around you and you knew who your quarterback was, your concerns might be elsewhere. You might be able to say, like, think about how we entered the season last year. Mm-hmm. What were people talking about with Patrick Mahomes? Oh, he's like lost so much of his supporting cast.
Right.
Is he going to be able to make these weapons look better than they are?
I mean, he lost Tyreek Hill.
That was the narrative for that team last year going into the season. And so I think at different levels of teams, you have different concerns about what your season's about. To me, this season is entirely about the rookie quarterback.
I agree. And I do think that it is all about him. If it's about what I'm most concerned about, it's not him. I think that he is coming along better. I think that if the offensive line can't protect him, then that's going to make this all sort of a moot point. Like, then your concern for the quarterback, and I picked the offensive line just like everybody else. This is Dewey over Truman here. I mean, this was about as big of a landslide as you can get. Or Truman over Dewey, I should say. And that is sort of
timely reference there.
It was, I thought. That's where I think it begins and ends. The wide receivers are better than I thought they were. I'm not going to say they're the biggest concern. I'm still concerned by them. I don't think that they're a great group, but they already look better than I thought they'd be. Drake May looks better than I thought he'd be. I didn't think he was going to be ready. I didn't think he'd go out there and even be able to do what he did in that game last Thursday against the Eagles. I just thought it would look worse. So he's looked better. The running backs and tight ends haven't been really all that great. I didn't expect much from them, and I didn't really expect much from the offensive line, but they're just so dysfunctional on the ends there. And when you talk about the offensive line, you talk about it as one big unit, and I get that. It's not always fair to do that because up front and up the middle, it's not really that big of a train wreck. But on the ends, it is. I mean, it just is. There's no way around it. You could even break it down like just the tackle position, and that's really what it's all about. You saw it already. You saw it in the games. You're seeing it in practices. You saw it in those joint practices. We didn't watch it, obviously, but how many times was Drake May getting sacked by the ones?
It's
he
like
got sacked like 11 times in one session, which is ridiculous, and that's just sort of where we are. That's where this thing is. Drake May's not going to be able to progress if this offensive line's getting him sacked 11 times in a joint practice. That seems impossible. The receivers, I think, will come along. I think that Drake May has the raw ability to be a functioning quarterback in this league. But none of that's going to matter if that offensive line continues to look like this. And if they can't put a tackle out there, we heard Elliott Wolf's big plan. And I'll tell you what, I hate it. We're going on the waiver wire. Do we have this? Can you, Joe, if you would? This was Elliott Wolf when asked about, well, what are you going to do with this offensive line? How are we going to fix this? How are you going to get this thing up to snuff? And here's what he said.
You know, again, we're pretty comfortable with our group right now. Obviously, we're going to look to upgrade on the offensive line or at any position if we feel like we can. But, you know, I think we gave up one sack the other night. Again, it was Philly's twos, but, you know, it was an improvement to the practice on Tuesday. So, again, we're just looking to see how these guys respond to the adverse situations.
Do you envision yourself carrying four quarterbacks?
Those are conversations that we'll have moving forward. I think we're going to try to carry the best 53, whoever those guys are.
The fact you pick third, how much of an advantage is it? And we take advantage of that, you know, pick to have the third pick coming around.
Yeah, absolutely. Our scouting department right now is all they're doing is just grinding through the preseason film, watching players, talking to other teams, see who might become available. having the third claim spot is a good advantage, and you know, we'll be aggressive, I think.
Oh, good. Right, finally, we'll be aggressive. Oh, that's great, Elliot. Great to hear. Great to hear that for the first time, you were aggressive in one other sense. You were aggressive in aggressively re-signing your own players from the four-win team. So you were aggressive there. All right, you got to give them some credit for that. Got to credit where it's due. There was aggression there. You made sure you gave everybody money. You got everyone re-signed, except for Matthew Judah. And now you're third on the waiver wire, and you're going to get aggressive once the cutdowns start coming. Like, ugh. That's not what I wanted to hear. I mean, there's no other choice. It's not like you have a lot of other options at this point, unless you want to go out there and trade some future draft picks. But to hear that, yeah, you know, we're really going to grind out that waiver wire, that's the type of dumpster diving that I just think that Patriots fans are sick of at this point. If you're talking about upgrading from the outside, it's not, you know, you're not, it's a new day, right? Isn't it supposed to be not the Bill Belichick regime anymore? I just feel like this is that kind of thing, that kind of value add. Well, we're fine. We don't need any help. We'll just go find somebody on the waiver wire, and that'll be our left tackle, and we'll just be fine because we're the Patriots. Like, those days are long gone.
So Phil Perry tweeted about a half hour ago. He was down at practice, and he was quote-tweeting Ian Rappaport, who said, the Cardinals are expected to release veteran offensive lineman Dennis Daly. He has 37 career starts. Perry says Daly played guard last season and this preseason, saw 942 snaps at left tackle in 2022 with Tennessee. Patriots have the third waiver claim. So, again, this
great.
Is like another situation. He's not
a guy
even
who
he's
got
not
moved
even
to
a
guard
proper,
and then got cut.
Yeah, he's not even a proper left tackle. He's playing guard. You already have that guy, and you're paying him a lot more. And his
right.
name's Mike Unwenu. And apparently now they're trying to slot him over and see if he can play tackle, even though it seems like he doesn't want to. And maybe it doesn't even fit in the system, right? Like, none of it. It's just very slapped together. And the idea that you're going to be on waivers, like, I don't disagree with you at all, Christian. I think that it's an extreme area of concern. And it has been for years with the Patriots, the offensive line. But it's concerning because the one bright spot that you have that everybody, the fans, ownership, the new head coach is seemingly pinning their hopes for the future on is the number three overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're simultaneously there saying, 2 weeks ago, well, he can only play one series because we got to protect him. And there's such a steep drop off
right.
between the first line of the offensive line and the second line. And it's like, okay, if only there was something you could have done about this 6 months ago or a year ago. I mean, we're in this position now. It feels like every single training camp of saying, what is the offensive line doing and why didn't they do more? And I know it's not the sexiest talk. It's not like talking about Brandon Ayuk or going and getting CeeDee Lamb or someone like that who's a big name.
Mm-hmm.
But it may slow down the development of Drake May, which to me is just the biggest issue here.
I don't see how it doesn't. I don't see how it doesn't either slow down his progression, or if it ends up being Jacoby Brissett, we're going to talk to again at 3:30 today, going out there with who the hell knows at left tackle, getting him just annihilated. And, you know, that's the part of this that really bothers me is that, and this is something that I just was thinking about on the way in. Like, you look at the line 1 through 5, and Mike Unwenu is a good offensive lineman, right?
Like, yes, I lobbied hard for him to get paid this offseason.
Yeah, and
I also thought he might play tackle.
Sure, I did too, and I thought that would make more sense. But let's just say, all right, so he's one of your guards. He's pretty good. David Andrews is your center. He's pretty good. City So is not great, but he's
serviceable.
Fine, serviceable guard. You have three guys up the middle who are okay. Even Chukwuma Okorafor at right tackle played right tackle in Pittsburgh. Okay, he got beat out by the kid, by Broderick Jones, the draft pick, who I wanted the Patriots to take last year, and they cut him, so now the Patriots have the scrap heap guy, but at least he's a right tackle, and if that's where you want to put him, he has some experience there. All you really needed to do in the offseason was get someone in at left tackle. That's it. And with everyone talking about, well, you really got to fix this line, the line's such a problem, blah, 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 it's not the whole line. It's just one spot on the line. And I'm not one of those people that believes, well, you got 4 of the 5, that's fine. Not if left tackle and you got a right-handed quarterback. I'm sorry, that's never going to fly. And between Caden Wallace, Vidarian Lowe, whoever the hell else, I don't even know who they're going to be putting out there, Calvin Anderson, I don't know who the other options even are. It's really, really upsetting that they just had that one spot on the line to focus on.
Dennis Daly,
whoever it's going to be, gets cut from some other team, some other scrap heap guy. Great, thanks. You know, you already got one of those at right tackle. You're going to do that again? That to me makes it worse. That makes it much, much, much worse. If you had a bunch of different things you had to address and you ended up with nothing, fine. You really only had left tackle. You know, that's it. You drafted a right tackle in Caden Wallace. He could be your right tackle. That's what he played at Penn State. You know, you didn't have to even get a core for. And then that just left you with one open spot at left tackle. You could have spent some money. You could have got a variety of different guys. And they just didn't. And now you're stuck with this crap heap. And you know trying what? To make it better on the NFL scrap heap and when people get cut. That's ridiculous. That's upsetting if you're a Patriots fan.
What's upsetting to me is that, like, you can be a boring team. And we've seen Patriots teams be boring teams even when they haven't been fantastic. But if you're a boring team, can you at least be kind of smart?
Like,
if you're boring, can you at least invest in the boring area like left tackle? Like, can you? There's
tackle.
Yes, that was like 2 years ago at this point.
It was.
And so, can you?
Don't play any more of those.
No, please don't. So, like, I understand you don't have Ayuk. Big free agents don't want to come here. You don't have a spicy tight end. Sorry, Hunter Henry. Like, you don't have these big names. You trade away Matthew Judon because that's the value investment that you're making for next year, or you're going to package it together and move up in the draft next year. Whatever. I buy all of that. I get it. I understand it. I'm not some idiot who's saying you have to spend crazy amounts of money just so that you can get 7 wins mm-hmm. and be a little bit more entertaining to watch. I understand all of that. But you're boring and you're stupid. You're boring.
Boring.
That's what it feels like to me when it comes to the offensive line. And I know that's harsh, but you knew that this was an issue last year. You knew that you weren't bringing back Trent Brown.
Right.
You knew it was slightly an issue the year before that. And you continue to just take away from the line and then not add to it or upgrade it in any way. So that irritates me.
Yeah, you should be irritated by that. I think that with that, between that, whiffing on wide receivers who, again, didn't want to come here. And I think that's, you know, a little bit more, I don't want to say understandable, but you understand why a wide receiver wouldn't want to come to this team. You understand why a big name talent who is already getting their big contract or is, you know, seeking to, would want to go to a team that's competing. It's just higher profile. It's better for you. You're playing in playoff games. Like, of course, that's something you'd rather be doing. That's a no-brainer. And the Patriots are far away from that. We'll hear more from Gerard Mayo about that topic a little bit later on as well. Also, at practice today, we were wondering, maybe with that big performance in preseason week 2 from Drake May on Thursday against the Eagles, and I say big performance, it was a better performance than Jacoby Brissett, which is really who he was competing against. Might we see Drake May getting some reps with the ones? We all agree that he earned it, right? We agree that he earned those reps. He should be out there at the very
yes.
least getting a look.
I've been like screaming about this.
With the first offensive line, with the first wide receivers, etc. Yesterday, he was with the twos. Today, also with the twos.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't know why, but that's annoying.
He had a good day of practice yesterday, and just looking by the numbers, which have no context, but it's all we have right now, seemed fine in 11th today. I guess it was a slower paced practice. Why are you just dragging him along with the twos in these practices? You got less than 3 weeks until week one. This is where then when, and we'll hear Gerard Mayo, and I know he was on the morning show, and they talk about it's still competition.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
That was before practice when they put him with the twos again.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. How is that a competition if you're not playing with the same guys?
You've
you don't have
at
the
least
same
give him
opportunity.
A shot. Yeah.
You don't have the same opportunities.
Agreed. You have to give him a shot. You have to at least put him out there. You don't have to name him a starter. You don't have to do what Washington just did. They just named Daniels a starter right as the show was beginning here. So now we know at least another one of these rookies who's got that job. I think Bo Nix probably locked up his Broncos job last night, too. He had a good run out there against I forget who they were playing, but Green Bay, I think. So, like, you know, these other quarterbacks are settling in. The other rookies are settling in, understanding their roles, and beginning to figure out what that's going to be for them this season. Meanwhile, Drake May is still in this fake competition where they won't let him go with the ones, even though he's so far. And today, Brissett had some good throws. We'll get into the recap of practice today. But on the whole, largely, I think we all agree that Drake May has been the better QB so far. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. You mentioned Gerard Mayo. He talked with Greg Hill today. He's been, even today, just really going back and forth. This guy, like, there's some people who, if we had 20 plus years of Bill Belichick not giving you anything, and now it's like he gives you so much, you almost are like, all right, Gerard, like, you already said the exact opposite of that just a few minutes ago in this exact same question, and have now circled all the way around, like, to answer it in the negative of what you just said.
It gets to the point where you're like, wait, what were we talking about?
Yeah, he really, I mean, it's like he's And in so many ways, it's like he's trying to be the anti-Bill, you know, like he's just trying to be the, everything that he wasn't in lots of different ways. Certainly with the media outreach and the way that he talks to reporters, you can see there's a huge difference there. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. But first, here is Joe Braverman to tell you what's trending.
You're boring and you're stupid.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get styled. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Stupid.
Our kid is so emotional. He's like Mama Bear.
You're Mama Bear for this team.
I like Jones and the Mama Bears.
It's Jones and the Mama Bears.
Jones and the Mama Bears here on WEEI. We got some
like
calls.
A folk group.
617
on WEEI.
Gerard, one of the things that you talked about, and you know, you've been around the game long enough to know that you have specific plans or game plans, and then things happen, and then all of a sudden you have to scrap that and change it. One of the things that you've been talking about is Drake May's development and him now. It looks like there's like a competition there. I know you talked about developmental plan, but is there a chance that within these next couple of weeks before your season opener, that maybe he performs at a level where your plan might change a little bit, where he could potentially see more action or even be the starter come week one?
100%. And we're still in training camp. We still have, you know, our preseason game against Washington. And once again, like, we don't have a starting quarterback right now. When it's time, we'll announce that. But he could absolutely be QB1. So could Jacoby. So we'll just have to see how it plays out.
From earlier this morning, the Greg Hill Show, that was Gerard Mayo. And one of the shortest questions Wiggy's ever asked, amazingly.
Are you sure that wasn't edited?
I don't think so. That was right.
He took out about 3 seconds of his lead up.
You only took out 3 seconds.
Okay.
I mean,
well done.
It was still about 90 seconds of question there. Either way, it was a good question, good answer. As Gerard Mayo talking about the starting quarterback situation, and we heard that this morning. We heard yesterday him flip flop a little bit, saying he didn't know who the starter was, but also that Jacoby Brissett had earned the right to be the starter and so forth. It seems as though the competition's still on, at least as far as what they say. Now, what they say and what they're doing, I think, are two different things. And that's got some people confused. It's got me confused. You don't know who the starter is. May could be the starter. Jacoby Brissett's earned the right to be the starter, but we haven't made a decision yet. It seems like they're still leaving the door ajar, right? The door's still ajar. The way they're talking for Drake May to take it, right? That's what they're saying. It may not be what they're doing, but we also don't know what the snap breakdown's going to be for in this game on Sunday. We do know that Mayo said everyone who's healthy is going to play in this game. So if May's healthy, if Brissett's healthy, they're all healthy. I expect to see a good dose of both of those guys. I don't think the Patriots should be treating this third game like they're like other teams with set quarterback situations would be. Well, this is the third game. We know what we're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know who your starter is yet. I believe that they don't know necessarily. They know who they want it to be. They have a plan for Brissett to be the starter. But I think that right now the door is still open for not just May to outplay him, but May to outplay him, the fans and ownership also, to get involved in this and to sort of pressure Wolf, pressure Mayo, and say, listen, you know, we gotta deliver something here for these paying customers.
It sounds to me like they're comfortable with Brissett being the starter for week one. That's the comfortable option to them. They go out there, they know who he is, they know where he's going to screw up, they trust him above all else, and it doesn't appear to me that they trust Drake yet. That's what it comes down to. And they don't even trust him enough to give him reps with the ones in practice. And I've heard some people say the difficult balance here is that if you give Drake reps with the ones, then there's the expectation that he's going to be rolling with the ones, and now the train has left the station, and there's no going back. But it's not like you're rolling him out in a game like Tua after Fitzpatrick had led that team to some moderate success, mm-hmm. and then benching him and going back to the veteran quarterback. We're talking about practice snaps. I cannot believe that they're still not having him go with the ones. It's so late in the process for them to be still stuck in where they are after just a glimmer of something that you saw from Drake May in the second preseason game. I really can't explain it other than they just don't trust him and they don't want to force it. And so they're just going to stick with the plan that they've had all along. But if that's the case, you know, it's like, I don't know how else to say this, but that old saying of like, don't pee on me and tell me it's raining. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I'm starting to lose a little trust in, they want to be open and transparent with the media. That's what Gerard Mayo says. And then they say, we're on the same page with Matthew Judon. Everything's good. And then they trade Matthew Judon.
Right.
And then Matthew Judon's on with Kayla Burton on NBC Sports and saying, yeah, they never sat down with me in person. Everything was done through texts and phone calls. I don't know. It doesn't add up to me is mostly what I come down to. And I don't believe that it's a competition.
I think that you're on the right track in terms of what their actions have said. But I don't think that it's set in stone enough. I don't think that there's no way that the Crafts wouldn't get involved if they thought, hey, you know what, this Brissett plan's not one that we like. You know, right. We're not into this. Drake May's shown us. We've seen enough football. We know when the quarterback's ready. Because if you remember, and we talked about this a little bit on Friday, but at the end of the Mac Jones-Cam Newton competition, Cam was with the ones until almost the very end, and then all of a sudden it was just he was cut and Mac's the quarterback, and that's the way they went forward. Now, they had a different situation there.
What? Mac did have time with the ones because Cam got COVID, and that was the turning point
right.
for him.
But then,
and guess what? Then he went back to the twos, and nothing changed. It was fine. So it's okay.
When Cam came back, he was back with the ones, though, and it seemed like that's what Bill's plan was. And then whatever happened, he decided not to, and Mayo was there for that. I mean, Mayo saw all that, and he's doing this thing for the first time, and it's his first QB, it's his first anything. So the last QB competition that he saw, they played that up until the very end. You're right, Mac did get reps with the ones when Newton was out, but when Newton came back, it was right back to him. So Mayo saw that. I mean, he may be basing it off of the way Bill did it. I'm not sure. It seems like he's trying to be unlike him in every other way. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to Bill, who is in Rhode Island, who has a question about Josh McDaniels. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bill.
I was just wondering if Josh McDaniels is offered the OC job with the Patriots. And I think this is a lost season for the Patriots. They should give Drake May all the experience he can this year to improve.
Okay, thanks for the call, Bill. I do not believe Josh McDaniels was ever reached out to.
No.
I don't think so.
Nick Cayley was, though.
Nick Cayley was?
If you're talking about ex...
Right.
Ex-offensive minds who have been...
Zach Robinson, who was a Patriots player, was reached out to. He ended up going to the Falcons, I think, right? He's an offensive assistant there.
I don't think the issue, though, as we look through this so far, Alex Van Pelt would be really low down my list of things that I look at and go, I don't know if that's going to work. So far, I had no issue with the play calling. in the second preseason game. Mm-hmm. Sounds like everybody likes him. Sounds like he and Drake May are developing a nice relationship when you listen to Drake May. I'm not looking at it like, why didn't you go get Josh McDaniels?
Yeah, I'm not really either. I don't think that there was, you know, like, he works when he's with Bill. Without Bill, I don't feel like McDaniels has had much luck. You know, like, even as an offensive coordinator, he went to the Rams when he first left here, and it was Sam Bradford, so it was probably had more to do with it. But, like, it just sort of seems like if Bill's not there sort of lording over
things
him.
Things go off the rails.
McDaniels, yeah, is just kind of a wild card. Like, I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily need him as someone with that much agency without Bill there to kind of reel him in, because it seemed like it didn't really work out that great in other instances. All right, it's time now for our league leaders and who is circling the drain, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. I'll start with our league leader. I'm going to give that to the Frenchman, Gershon Yabusele, who not only dunked on LeBron in the final there in the gold medal game. They lost the game. Not because of Yabu, though. He was awesome with 20-something points. That awesome dunk right in LeBron's stupid face, and had me jumping up singing Sacre Bleu right there. But yeah, he's now a Philadelphia 76ers. What?
How do you sing it?
I don't know. He's now, I couldn't think of a French song in time. What's a French song? Alouette?
Champs-Élysées.
Champs-Élysées, yeah. That's, I never heard that song until that Airbnb commercial, but I like that one. You know, Alouette, Jote, Alouette. You know that song? You know what that's about?
What?
It's about ripping the feathers off a bird.
Oh.
Yeah. It's about plucking all the feathers off a bird that you shot.
What about Frère Jacques?
Frère Jacques is about someone's brother named Jacques.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Alouette, depluming a bird is what that song's about. Anyway, congratulations to Gershon Yabusele and the great country of France for...
Who do they think it is? Gershon Yabusele?
For his wonderful ascent back into the NBA. Who's circling the drain, Mega?
Okay, yeah, don't tell us you don't learn anything from this radio show with Christian throwing that info down. Mm-hmm. This is something that I know has been mentioned in trending, but I just want to talk about it here. The former Boston College and NFL player... It's Goster Chiralis, who I recognize his last name. I don't remember his first
good
name.
Good old lineman, BC. I remember him on the Bucks. I don't remember him on any of these other teams. He's like, oh, he's on the Lions, these other teams. I remember him in Tampa, but that's it. I know he was a very good player at BC.
So, unfortunately,
why? What happened?
Allegedly, he urinated, this from the Boston Globe, on an elderly woman for 20 seconds on a Delta Airlines flight to Dublin on Sunday. And so he was in court on Monday. He just... put out a statement. I saw it on Twitter. I don't know where he exactly originated it, but he said that he'd like to address the media reports that surfaced today regarding a situation. Why? What happened? That occurred aboard a flight to Ireland this past weekend. He says the flight was unexpectedly delayed for approximately 4 hours in preparation for an unexpected overnight flight. He took a sleeping medication that he doesn't usually use, which resulted in behavior that is not representative of his character. He wants to apologize to the passengers and the flight crew. Well, I hope you apologize to that elderly woman.
Sure.
Because that is tough. Do you buy the, like, Ambien or whatever?
100% I do. And the reason why I do, it just didn't happen to me, but it happened in a room that I was in.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunate. It was my senior year of high school, and I was at a basketball camp at University of Rhode Island, and my roommate was this big rugby-looking guy, and he was playing basketball, but he should have been playing like a much bigger contact sport. And he had some other friends. He was from Rhode Island. He had some other friends who were around, and he snuck off out of the dorm. He went out drinking with his friends, and he comes back. He's just stumbling in, and I saw him. I said, "Hey, man, what's up?" And he didn't even acknowledge me. He was just blacked out, and he walked over to the closet, and he started peeing in his own hamper.
May I tell you? I think everybody knows someone who has this story.
Right.
Not that, like, that it didn't happen. I'm saying
no,
I think this is very common with a certain... But you don't expect that from a 40-year-old man.
No.
You expect that from a 19-year-old who doesn't know what he's doing and gets too drunk.
Right. But the Ambien...
Medication, the reason he struck someone as well?
Chiralis?
Yeah, he allegedly struck a man and urinated on someone.
I thought that he was fighting the crew that tried to take him off the plane.
It could be both.
I mean, it could be. I think that probably had something to do with it. Yeah, like he
could have been fighting for him because he thought that was the bathroom.
That's, by the way, Chiralis is 6'7", 300 pounds. I don't know if he's still 300 pounds. That's what he played at. 6'7", 315. Imagine trying to get that guy off a plane. First of all,
calling the SWAT unit.
Imagine trying to get him to stop peeing on you. First of all,
oh my god,
that in itself is got to be
a nightmare.
Like a really tough thing, you know. Like you're an old lady, even if you're a young man, you know. No matter who you are, if a 6'7", 320-pound man whips it out and starts peeing on you, what are you supposed to do? What are you? Hey, stop it!
Yeah, you yell, "Wake up! What are you doing, crazy?"
Do you like point it away from you?
You just slap that. Like, you slap that thing.
All of a sudden, the guy next to you is like, hey, wait. You're holding, it's a whole thing. Anyway, that's who's circling.
Or you take a video and then you get really rich.
I'd imagine this lady's going to make some money off of that. I mean, that's, you know, from the airline, from Charles himself, from whoever. Like, this is from the people who make Ambien.
Dude Wipes enters the situation.
Dude Wipes is like, yes, now we pounce. Anyway, there you go. That's who's circling the drain, and also our league leaders here on Arcand and Mego. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll continue with our Patriots discussion. Who is going to emerge? They're playing the Washington Commanders in week 3 on Sunday. Who is going to emerge as your starter? We'll get to that next.
Follow the show on Twitter at Jones and Mego.
Maybe you can DM me on Twitter. Don't be creepy. Don't be creepy.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Look, excited to have the guys back out here, still working hard, still out here competing. I know you guys are probably wondering who's going to play in the game. Everyone that's healthy is going to play in the game. Not sure what Washington is going to do, but it really doesn't matter. It's what we need to do, what we need as a team.
Why is having all the starters play?
Yeah, to me, like, the only way to get better at football is to play football. We can run around here in shorts and whatever and tag off, or run out here in full pads and not tackle, and then get to the game and it looks like crap. So I think it's important to get that live action and also to build on our conditioning.
Pretty sure he said tag off. Tag off, right? I heard tag off. Anyway, that was Gerard Mayo talking to the media today and saying everyone who's healthy is going to play in week 3. And I think that's great. I champion that idea. I think that you should not be treating this like the other teams out there in the NFL are treating the preseason. Preseason week 3. You do not have a set quarterback yet. I think you should be giving Drake May, and I also think you should be giving him chances with the ones here leading into this game. But either way, you should be giving him those kind of reps and as much as you possibly can. I think that right now, not knowing who the starter is a good thing, if that's what they're saying, if that's what they're presenting. It may not be actually true, but if that's what they're out there saying, I think that's a good thing for Drake May and potentially not for Jacoby Brissett. Although, but according to reports, Brissett was good today. He had a nice bomb to Tyquan Thornton, beat Christian Gonzalez, who's been getting beat a lot, it sounds like, here in this camp in preseason. But it looks like it was a bounce-back day for Brissett and a steady day for Drake May. So we'll see if that ends up being some sort of determining factor here going forward. Who do you think is going to emerge after week 3 against Washington? We've seen Brissett play. We've seen May play. We know that this is a team they're going up against here who's probably still figuring out some things of their own. I think you'll probably see a lot of their ones and twos as well. It's not like they're, you know, the Eagles and they can just throw their threes and fours out there because they're super confident. So I think it'll be a little more competitive maybe than that game was. Who do you think is going to emerge as the better quarterback at the end of that game?
So I expect that we're going to see something similar from Drake May that we saw in the second preseason game, and that level of play is going to continue. He's going to continue to roll that out there. I just think that they are like pot committed to this plan with Jacoby Brissett. And I'll be interested to see the practice reports that we get from the rest of this week. Because as you look at how they're playing out this week, they're going to be off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to come back. And they seem to want to intend to take this like a complete dress rehearsal for a week of the actual season. So they're going to do everything like they would do in the actual season, which in a way makes sense because you have a first-time head coach doing this all at the top, and then you have some other guys in these spots for the first time on the coaching staff and elsewhere. But it doesn't really, like, all of this again points to me that their focus, their priority is putting a professional football team out there in week 1 that doesn't completely embarrass everyone. It's not about like, oh, well, we see some stuff from Drake May over the last 2 weeks, and so we're going to try to ride that momentum and try to get him up to speed for week 1. I just don't buy that. I don't think that's where they're showing you that their heads are at and the priority is. So I think it's going to be Jacoby Brissett coming out of the third preseason game because the priority right now is go out there and don't be a complete embarrassment in week one.
Yeah, and that's a fair thing to want. It's a fair thing to be sort of shooting for, especially since it's probably going to be an embarrassing season. Like, I don't think anybody's looking at this season and thinking, yeah, you know, this is really good. They're really going to surprise a lot of people.
They don't want to be the Panthers.
Yeah, fair enough. But I also think that if you're the Panthers, but you have a rookie quarterback who shows some promise, you can sell that to the fans. You know, you can. I think that the Chargers were able to sell Justin Herbert to the fans even when the things weren't going well because, hey, look at this quarterback we
Cincinnati.
Got.
Cincinnati.
Right. You know, the Bengals weren't great right away with Joe Burrow, but, you know, you saw something there. You saw that there was something you can get behind, you can rally behind, that you can feel good about going forward. Sometimes you have to sell the future. You have to sell hope in the future and what we're going to do and all of that. That's the thing, because the team's not good and we're selling you hope. The Bruins somehow are good and also sell hope for the future because they know they're never going to break through. But like with this team, you know they're not going to be good. You know they're not really a playoff team. And you're sort of, from a business perspective, a business angle anyway, trying to sell them on, okay, what we're going to be is going to be worth it. Right? Like this, what we're building and what we're going to become is going to be worth it to you, the fans, and to you, the free agent wide receiver who doesn't want to come here. Like all of you are going to see that this is going to become a destination, and we're going to do it because we have this good quarterback, and he's going to go out there and make everybody want to play with him. And that's really what it is. I mean, if you have, for the wide receivers in particular, I mean, that's obvious, but I think even more than that, if you have a quarterback that you believe in, and more importantly, that your fans believe in, and who can go out there and not suck, you know, on a weekly basis and give you something to walk away from, even if you lose the game, if you walk away from it thinking, you know, they lost, but man, May really looked good. You can sell that to Patriots fans.
That's
100%.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's what, from every perspective, that should be your priority this season. I don't know if that's something that's going to evolve and develop as the season rolls on, especially if there's some kind of pressure from ownership who's saying, what the hell are we doing out here? And I can only look at, if you're asking me what I think is going to come out of preseason game 3, do I think they're going to stand up there and say, well, that's it. Drake May, he's won by a knockout. He's officially now going to be the starting quarterback. They're going to announce it the way that the Commanders announced it. No, I think we're lucky if we see him in weeks 5 and 6.
Yeah, you might be right. I think that there's going to be, if we see another separation in this third game like we saw in the second game, if Drake May continues to get better and Brissett sort of plateaued with that game that we saw, which wasn't very good, by the way, then there's going to be pressure. It's going to be in the cover of the paper. We're all going to be talking about it more than we already are, and I think that's going to get all the way up to, you know, the Hammer and Jonathan and Robert and everybody else. I think that's something that they're going to be very, very in tune with. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We have a change in schedule, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. We were going to talk to Jonathan Jones at 4 o'clock. We are now going to talk to him next, a 3 o'clock move up here for Jonathan Jones. He is going to be speaking to us right when we come back at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere as we talk to one of the longest tenured Patriots on this entire roster. I looked it up. It's David Andrews, Joe Cardona, and Jonathan Jones. This guy, savvy Patriots veteran. We're going to hear from him right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches.
Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.